because he himself knew what he was going to do. Now that sounds so reassuring in the gospel, but it's quite another thing when it becomes your lived experience. In October 2000, my wife and I were flying to Syktyvkar, Russia, to identify children to adopt. And we had a layover in Moscow, and however, because of a delay in Atlanta, we missed our connecting flight and now needed to stay overnight in Moscow before flying to Syktyvkar. And our contact person in Syktyvkar sent somebody to pick us up at the airport, somebody who spoke no English. And this is way before cell phones were just, you just go and get whatever you needed. Well, we were relieved when our names, we saw them on a sign as we walked off the plane with the man who was holding a sign. But this confidence eroded when we climbed into the back seat of his car, his tiny little car, with no idea of what the plan was. We were unnerved as we realized our lives were in this stranger's hand in a country where we did not understand the language, and he was driving away from the airport. It felt like a Cold War spy movie. 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, before finally stopping at an apartment where we learned the plan. Although it seemed like we were driving away from our goal, we were actually driving toward it. And it's often like that with God. Will we trust him and in his plan for us? See, Jesus wasn't the first person to multiply food. You know, in our first reading, we read how Elisha feeding 100 people with a few loaves of bread. Elijah fed himself, a widow, and the widow's son for many months with only enough flour and oil to make a few loaves of bread. And through Moses, God fed the Israelites in the desert on manna for 40 years. Furthermore, prior to today's gospel, remember that Jesus had already turned water into wine at the wedding feast of Cana. He calmed the storm and the sea. And he healed a man who had been paralyzed for 38 years. Why then is this a test? Because while Jesus had shown his disciples what he can do and that he can do whatever needs to be done, it's still hard to understand what he plans to do next. Would they put their faith in Jesus or their own understanding? It's the same between God and us. We know what he is capable of doing, but we cannot predict what he is going to do. And that bugs us. Before our flight to Moscow, God had already shown himself clearly in our two previous adoptions. Nonetheless, there we were, driving away from the Moscow airport, miles away from our comfort zone. He said this to test them, because he knew what he was going to do. As it says in chapter 3 of the book of Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We see the challenge of understanding God's ways throughout the Gospels. You know, I suspect the disciples were quite unnerved when Jesus sent them out on mission with no food, no sack, and no money. Near the end of his public ministry, Jesus predicted his death and started to journey towards Jerusalem. How did the disciples respond? Maybe we should go the other way. They said, God forbid, Lord, that anything like such thing should happen to you. And what was Jesus' response? You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. In today's gospel, Philip says 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little. In other words, if we had enough money, we could be in control. But then how would God be glorified? This is the test that God sends us when we don't have enough. And when we do have an abundance, the test is the one that Jesus gave to the rich young man. Give it away. Sometimes it seems like we are going away from our goal when God is leading us toward it. For example, saints renounce possessions and comforts for the sake of the kingdom, while most people seek them and cling to them. We strive to be in control of everything. Disciples do what they can and entrust the results to God. Our culture is drawn towards noise and activity. Disciples seek silence. Sometimes God leads us to a place of illness or loss rather than health, because everything we see and touch and taste is passing away. Jesus wants us to go the other way. He wants us to go to become those who live like disciples, because he wants us to have eternal life with him. We know what Jesus is capable of doing, but we cannot predict or control what he's going to do. It is a test of faith. Will we entrust ourselves to him? The Catechism in paragraph 1814 states, "Faith is the theological virtue by which we believe in God and believe all that he has said and revealed to us, because he is truth itself. By faith, man freely commits his entire self to God." In other words, we go God's way, even when it seems to be in conflict with what we thought was best. Elisha had the advantage of being the man of God. Elisha had learned to be attentive to God's guidance and freely commit himself entirely to God. And after Jesus, there have been no shortage of saints who had their own multiplication of food, including Saints Benedict, Francis of Assisi, Dominic, Teresa of Avila, Martin de Porres, John Bosco, Padre Pio, and that's just to name a few. For how many of them, though, did it seem like God was leading them to a dead end, only to find themselves at their destination by a better route, by a way that glorified God instead of man? That can be our lives too, when we choose to live by faith. Faith is not easy in this materialistic, instant gratification culture. Nonetheless, have we become people who want to go to heaven without being holy, without being set apart, without living by faith? Do you know how disconnected that sounds? And yet, how much attention does growing in holiness and living by faith receive in our lives? Is it even on our radar screen? Does it occupy any space on our calendars? As we see in today's gospel, faith is not easy, but Jesus' expectations are not unrealistic. Remember elsewhere, Jesus says, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, the smallest of seeds." And so today, the miracles are a reminder that our trust in Jesus is well placed, and that he has the power to save us, even if we don't understand how he's going to do it, or even if we don't agree with the way he's going to do it. God may never miraculously multiply food through your hands, but he still wants to do great and glorious and beautiful things in your lives and with your hands. Will you let him, or will you go another way?